Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I want you to put your finger there. Put your finger there to hold it, and then turn back to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Thanks. And let's pray. Father God, we pray this morning that we might find strength in you, strength in your word, and truth that will help us to live for you. Help us, Lord God, to find our rest, find our hope. Help us, Lord, to find it in you. And teach us, Father, to wait on you, that you might be praised through our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have you in two spots. I want us first to look at 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely. If by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he laid down under the tree and fell asleep. Turn over to Isaiah. We have here one of the great men of God, who finds himself in a situation where he had just won a great victory, and now he's ready to give up. He reaches a point in his life where he's tired of the journey. He's tired of the fight. He's living in a land where the false gods and the false prophets are reigning, and the people have turned away from God, and he's been fighting this battle over and over and over, and he just wins this great victory, but Jezebel comes on the scene. Elijah may be thinking the battle had been done, and he realizes it's not. And he's so tired, so depressed, so ready to give up, he prays that he will die. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, this world is just so difficult, so hard. You just don't want to go on. You've had enough. And you feel like Elijah did back in 1 Kings 19, and you just say, "Look, that's it." What do you do? How do you deal with it? Well, in Isaiah chapter 40, God comes to the Israelites, and once again, as he did in the days of Elijah, and the Israelites are getting ready to be taken into captivity. And everything's just about ready to fall apart. And God speaks to the Israelites prophetically about the time that they would be in Babylon and they would reach a place in their life where they just want to quit, where they're ready to give up, they're ready to die, they're ready just to throw in the towel. And pretty much come to a place in life where Elijah was on that day. In fact, Isaiah 40, 29 to 31 is probably one of the most quoted passages in the Bible, but I want to begin in verse 1. God comes and he speaks to the Israelites, and I want you to notice what he says. He says, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. You're ready to give up. All your comfort is gone. You're ready to quit. You're ready to throw in the towel. You're tired of the fight, tired of the battle, tired of life. Maybe you've been dealing with financial stress. Maybe it's physical stress or emotional, spiritual stress, difficulties with this economy, difficulties with what's going on in life. You listen to the news broadcasts. If you listen to them long enough, you think the world's gonna be destroyed every day you watch it, and that tomorrow's never going to show up. How do you go on? How do you find strength not to quit? Because clearly it is God's will in our lives that we don't quit. Paul said at the end of his life, I have finished the fight. I've kept the faith. Fought the fight, kept the faith, finished the race. When we reach that point in life, where we are at the end of our life, what a great thing it would be to be like Paul, to be able to say, look, as I look back on my life, no matter how difficult and how hard it got, I didn't quit. Even though Paul had said in his life, there were times when he felt like quitting. And I don't care who you are, I don't care how strong you are, there will be times, if there haven't already been times, where you say to yourself, look, I want to quit. Had enough. In this passage in Isaiah, I think we have one of the key passages in the Bible that tells us how not to quit, how not to give up, how not to reach that point in life where you say, that's it. And I want to share a few thoughts with you this morning on that. Go with me to verse 29. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. If you are going to get past those days, first thing you need to learn to do is to rely on God's promise of strength. You can look all throughout the Bible, and what you will find over and over and over is God's promise that he will be there to help you. He will be there to give you the strength you need. He will be there at that point where you have given up, where you've lost all your strength. God will be there at that point in your life to give you the strength that you do not have. But you can only get if you turn to him. The verse I just read is really a response, an answer to the verse prior to it, verse 28. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause disregarded by God? Israel, why are you complaining? Why are you saying that God's not there for you? God had promised his people that he would be there for them. God had promised his people that he would give them strength. In fact, it's not much different than the promise we find Jesus giving us today. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said to the people, and it's a promise for us today, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Israelites are in Babylon, prophetically speaking, as Isaiah looks forward to that time. They have gone through great struggles. They have gone through great difficulties. The Israelites have complained to God. You know, where are you? Why aren't you there for me? Why aren't you helping me? God, don't you love me? God, why aren't you helping me? And God's response is, through Isaiah, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He's not going to grow weary. He's not going to grow tired. His understanding, no one can fathom. The word strength here is a word that means power. The word weary here refers to someone who's just absolutely exhausted. And God's strength, God's power, might, the force that's able to accomplish things, is there for those who are weak. His promise is there to help those who are exhausted, those who are ready to give up, to give strength that they don't have, but strength only He has to help you through those days. When you say, I've had enough. When I can't do anymore. And God is turning the Israelites, and He's saying to the Israelites, this God who has promised that has the ability to keep His promise. If I came to you and said, look, I have $1 million sitting in the bank, and I know you're financially struggling, so what I'm going to do is I am going to come tomorrow on Monday, and I am going to give you $1 million. If I said that to you, I want you to know, don't hold your breath. I don't have $1 million. See, someone's promise is only good based on their ability to keep their promise. If someone promised you something and they've done it in the past and they haven't kept it, I wouldn't trust the promise. If someone promised you something they can't fulfill, I would not trust the promise. If someone says I'm going to do something and they don't have the ability to do it, I would not trust the promise. God says to the Israelites that the promise that I give you, you can trust because I have the ability to keep my promise. And that's what He's saying here. In fact, what He's saying here in verse 28 and 29, as we'll see in a minute, is really based on the entire chapter. Turn back with me to verse 9. Let's for a moment look at this God who promises us strength, who promises to help the weary. In verse 9, He tells us that He wants to help us. Notice verse 9, the Israelites. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and His arms rule for Him. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms. He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young. God is saying to the Israelites, this God who has promised to help you is the God who cares about you. I think sometimes when we go through problems and we go through difficulties, one of the things that Satan tries to get us to believe is that nobody cares about us and that we're all alone. You know, I have no friends. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. God doesn't care about me. If God did, why am I here? And what we need to do in times of difficulty, in times of trouble, we need to take that lie that pops into our head and we need to get rid of it. The Israelites are beginning to believe that very lie, and God says, wait a minute. I'm going to take you like the shepherd takes his flock in his arms. I love you. I care for you. I will be there for you. Not only that, but notice verse 12. This God who makes this promise is the God who's above all others. There's no equal to God. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? In other words, is there any equal to God? The answer is no. God is above everybody else. This God who has promised to give you strength, this God who has promised to help you in your time of need, is the God who is way above everybody else. Therefore, he has the ability to fulfill his promise. Isaiah does not stop there. Notice verse 15. God's strength is greater than all the nations put together. Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless. They are less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? God is so great. God is so powerful. God is so awesome. There's absolutely nothing you can compare him to. Therefore, this God has the ability to fulfill his promise to help you in your time of need. In fact, skip down to verse 25. Isaiah does not stop. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. God is the creator. God has limitless strength. God is so awesome and powerful and so all-knowing. Could you imagine that God has all the stars named? And we find more and more, the more science learns about our universe, the more we find, you know, the galaxies upon galaxies. And God has all these by name, and not just by name, but he holds them all together. And every time I hear someone say the world is going to fall apart, I just sit back and smile and think to myself, who does man think he is? That we can take what is God and somehow destroy what God is holding together? It's not possible. This is the God that we read about down in verse 28. The God who had promised Israel to help them in their time of need, help them as they struggled in Babylon, help them for their need of strength. The God who will not grow weary in verse 28. The God whose understanding no one can fathom. The creator of the ends of the earth. When you're hurting, when you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like you have no strength left, when you feel like Elijah did when he prayed that he would die, Rely on God's promise of strength. It's not just here in Isaiah, but it's all throughout the Bible that God will be there to help you. I want you to notice the second thing. Not only must we rely on God's promise of strength, but we need to acknowledge our need of strength. We need to acknowledge that we do need God's strength if we are going to, in this life, not reach that point where we finally do quit. Verse 30. Verse 29, he says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. This God who promises in verse 29 to give us strength when we are weary, to increase our power when we are weak, this God who made that promise wants us to realize that no matter how strong we think we are, no matter how powerful we think we are, there will be times in our life where we will go beyond that ability, go beyond our ability to continue to endure, and we will need God's help. So we need to acknowledge our need of His strength. And how does He tell us that? Well, notice He says, even youths, I hate that word, grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall. Proverbs 20:29 says, the glory of young men is their strength. But even young men and women reach a point where their strength gives out. You know, I have noticed something. I was just talking with someone about that this week. That as you get older, you can't do the things you used to do. And as you get older, I don't know how these people do it, but the older I get, the less I want, the less I desire, the less I would think it would be wise to have babies. Because when you get older, you can't keep up with the babies. You know, when you were young, when you were, you know, in your 20s and 30s, when you had your kids, you were able to keep up with them. But, you know, I'm past 50 now. I could do it as a grandparent because I could do something a grandparent can do. When I'm done playing with them, when I get them to the point where they are out of control, when I get them to the point where they are nuts, here. Now you can have them back. But I wouldn't want to have a child at my age because I wouldn't be able to keep up with them because, you know, you look at little kids and it seems like they just never run down. But you know what? They do. You ever watch a child that has outlasted its strength and power? What does it do? It gets cranky. And it gets so tired that you can't even put it to sleep because it's so tired. God says to us, no matter who you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter what things you deal with in life, there will reach a point in your life, maybe many times, where you get past your ability to endure. So God promises us strength, and what we need to understand is we need that strength. Probably one of the greatest examples in the Bible of someone who had great strength is Job. You know, you read about Job's life and you say of Job, I could never go through what he went through. I can never deal with what Job did. And Job, you know, as he dealt with all that, he praises God and he seems to have limitless ability to endure with difficulties. And we get this picture of Job as a guy who's standing there and never doubts, never gets tired, never gets weary, and no matter what you throw at him, he just seems to be able to take it. And if that's your view of Job, it is wrong. Hold your finger here in Isaiah. Turn with me to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3 and verse 1. This is right after Job had just trusted God and dealt with his difficulties. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day he was born, cursed the day of his birth. He said, "May the day of my birth perish." In the night, it was said, "A boy is born." That day, may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine upon it. May darkness and deep shadow claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm it. That night, may thick darkness seize it. Verse 10. "For it did not shut the doors of the womb on me to hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb?" Verse 20. "Why is light given to those in misery and life to the bitter of soul?" Verse 25. "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil." Job is describing his heart. Job is describing his difficulties. Sounds like a description of what Elijah was going through when he prayed he would die. And it's not just Elijah, and it's not just Job, but listen to what Paul said, the apostle. "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death." These great men, and I could show you women of God in the Bible who reached points in their life where they felt they could not go on because of hardships, because of serving God, because of failure or perceived failure, because of family stress and work and finances and just life in general. And they reached these points and they felt like giving up. But each one of them did not give up, did not quit. And part of the reason they did not is because they reached points in their life where they realized that they needed God's help. They needed God's strength. In fact, at the end of what I just read about the Apostle Paul, here's what he says. "But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God." Acknowledge your need for God's strength. Number three, go back again to Isaiah 40. Recognize the condition for strength. So God promises us strength. We realize we need strength when we go through difficult times, but how do we get it? How do we get that strength that God offers so that we don't quit, we don't give up, and we make it through those difficult times? Verse 31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Those who put their hope in the Lord, those who put their trust in God, those who are going through those times where they know in their own strength they cannot continue, when they find themselves in those times and they turn to God and they place their trust in Him, those people, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles and run and not grow weary and walk and not be faint. The word hope here means to trust. It means to wait patiently upon God until God brings it to pass. In other words, you're going through difficult times, you're facing stressful times, and you want to quit, you want to give up, and it is really difficult, and you don't know how you're going to get through it, but you turn to God, and you trust God, and you place your hope in God, and you say to God, God, I can't do this, but I know with you I can do this, and I know because of you there's light on the other end of the tunnel. And because I know there is, with your help, I'm not going to quit. Now that light at the end of the tunnel might be an hour away. Maybe a week away. It may be a month away. Or that light at the end of the tunnel may not be seen until you're standing in God's presence. But it gives you that power, it gives you that ability to go through difficult times and not quit. Listen to what the psalmist said. Psalm 25:3. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Psalm 27:13. I am so confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6, I will wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In his word I put my hope, my soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchman wait for the morning, more than the watchman wait for the morning. The key to our endurance lies in exchanging our limited resources for God's limitless strength. The key to our endurance is turning to God and saying to God, I know I can't, but with you I can. I know that you have the strength, the ability, because you are the creator and sustainer of this universe, to help me through all the difficulties I'll face. And because of you, I will not give up. There's a great example in the book of 2 Kings. If you'll turn there with me to 2 Kings 6. And it is really worth turning there and looking at it and seeing it with your own eyes. 2 Kings chapter 6. The Israelites are in a very difficult situation. And down in verse 26, Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, has marched up against them and has surrounded them. And in verse 26, it says, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, help me, my lord, the king. The king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press? Then he asked her, what's the matter? And she goes on to tell how they ate her child, because they ran out of food. And we skip down to verse chapter 7, verse 1. Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? Things had gotten so bad in Israel, the king says, look, even if God opens the floodgates of heaven, God could not change what we are going through. In other words, the king had given up. The king had quit. And Elijah says, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it. Elijah says, God's not only going to open the floodgates of heaven, but you're not going to get to enjoy it. See, the king thought there was nothing that could happen. Things were so bad, God couldn't help him. Elisha saw past all the difficulties, and he put his hope and trust in God. Psalm 55:22 says this, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." A hope, especially in the Lord, hope that's put in the Lord, always sees light at the end of the tunnel. Notice he says that in Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." The word renew means to pass from one state to another. It means to change. Genesis 31, 7, it was used of Laban changing Jacob's wages. In Genesis 35, 2, it was used of Jacob telling his family to change their clothes. They're going to change their condition to a new condition. Their condition of being weary to a condition of strength, so that they will soar and they will run and they will walk. What a great truth. That no matter how difficult times get, if they get so bad, even to the point that we don't have the strength to go on, if we will turn to God and trust Him and put our hope in Him and look to Him for strength, God will exchange our weariness for His strength. But the key is we have to trust Him to do that. The key is we have to trust Him that there is light at the end of the tunnel. The key is that we have to put our hope in God to help us. The God who created this universe, the God who holds it all together, the God who cares about you. That's the God you have to trust. Psalm 40 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall in the heart of the sea." And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Are you hurting? You feel like life is just too difficult, too hard? You just want to quit. You just want to give up. I want you to know there's a God who cares about you, a God who has limitless strength, and He wants to help you. But He'll only do it if you turn to Him for that help. And He'll only do it if you put your trust in Him. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this morning and you're just hurting. And maybe you feel like Elijah did and Job did and the Apostle Paul did, and you just feel like quitting. It's nothing new. Join the crowd. But like those men, you need to put your hope and trust in God. If you're here this morning and you just want someone to pray for you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, and say this morning, "Pastor, pray for me." Just raise your hand up, put it right down. Nobody looking. Yep, put it right up, put it right down. Your hand's not going up just for me. Your hand's going up and you're saying to God, "God, I need your help. God, I'm putting my trust in you. God, I'm putting my hope in you. God, help me through this." Just keep putting them up, putting them down. If that's you, "God, I need your help." Yep. Every hand that went up, you're just turning to God and saying, "God, it's me. I'm that person. I'm the one who needs your strength. Yes, I don't have any left. God, help me." Put your hand up, put it right down. Father God, I pray for every single person that's raised their hand this morning. And Father, that includes me. We need your help. We need your strength. Lord, I'm sure there's people here this morning that just feel they can't even take another step. Father, I pray as each of these people put their hope and trust in you, that you will show how awesome you are and give them a strength that they could not find in themselves and a power to endure that they don't have, but can only be found in you. Help them, Lord, not to quit. And I pray, Lord, that every single person who has put their trust in you this morning will find that doing so has had value. Strengthen, Father, feeble hands, weak knees, that you may gain the glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, I'll ask our ushers to come forward as we take our morning offering. And let's pray. Father God, as we give to you this morning, I pray, Lord, you might bless each heart and each life. Bless this offering, Lord. May your word go out because of it, that you may gain the praise, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we find in life ourselves in places because of the difficulty of life, in places that we feel like the struggle is too great, and we turn to God and we ask His help, and He comes through, and He changes that weariness for strength that we didn't have but He had to give to us, it is then that people look at our lives and God gains the glory. They look at your life and they say, how are you getting through? How are you managing to deal with all this? It's at that point that you need to be able to turn to them and say, because I put my hope in the Lord, and He's the one who gives me the strength. And when you do that, God gains the glory, and that's exactly what God wants to do. And that's exactly why we're here, so that He can use our lives to bring Him glory, even in the most difficult of times. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, we trust you. We wait upon you. We ask for the strength that we don't have. I pray, Lord, for those who are worried, that you would give them peace. I pray, Lord, for those who need strength, that that strength would be provided. Father, do great things in lives today, because your word has been proclaimed. And this week, Father, help us to see what the Creator and the Sustainer of this universe does. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.